China FFG. Hello, everybody. This is David Tan. Today, we're going to have a follow-up of the Stampede episode we did a couple weeks back. I'd like to retell the story of the Shanghai New Year's Eve Stampede from my point of view. I want to express how absolutely horrifying and stressful this event was for everybody that was involved and the possible repercussions that could have came from this event. Imagine for a minute, you have the night of your life. Your friends are out having a good time, people everywhere. You're not only having a good time partying, but the event that you created at the club that you work at was a great success, better than you ever could have imagined. You're proud of not only yourself, but your team. They have performed amazingly. And you have shown all the naysayers that you and your team are the best in town. Money is rolling into your business, and clients congratulate you at every turn. Success. You're on a high. It's the best day of the year, and nothing can ruin it for you. The next morning is the exact opposite. Despair, shock, fear, and confusion. You wake up in the morning to 300 missed WeChat messages. WeChat is a messaging system, if you're from the States, kind of like WhatsApp, and 19 missed calls. The first call you see is from the company's owner, the CEO, and the first message you see is your best friend saying, maybe you should just leave the country. You look at the news, and outside of your great success fell a great tragedy. 36 people dead and 48 injured, right on your doorstep, and they blame you for it. This was the situation on January 1st, 2015. I worked for M18. It's a nightclub that had a New Year's Eve party. Nothing else. Yet, for 24 hours had caught the attention of the entire world. Planning for this event, we started rather late in the game. We were a little behind schedule, as we usually were, because we, honestly, just couldn't get our shit together. And because we were scrambling around finishing up the Christmas party plans. The easy part, however, was that we knew exactly what we wanted for New Year's Eve and how it would look. So we just needed to source the decoration, the labor to install, and the props. For most of our parties, we like to have props with them. It gave our clients something to have fun with. Anything a client could use, you know, to take a picture with or put on their body so they can put it on their Facebook, WeChat, or whatever. Sometimes we would make something like fake tattoos with the M18 logo on it. People would love it. They would put on the fake tattoos, take pictures with their friends of them partying with it all night, put it on their Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WeChat. Instant marketing that money couldn't buy. We did this one party back in September 2014. We called it the Wolf of Bun Street, the Bun being where we were located, and after the Wolf of Wall Street. We did this party because it had everything, it embodied everything, nightclubbing, glamorous parties in Shanghai entail. Had champagne, glamour, girls, and money. We wanted a lot of money, so we did it. We made the money. This is China. We found a printer, went out, and made money that looked a lot like US dollars. We made millions of dollars of it. Millions of this fake money. But, you know, it was fake. Okay, it had the same look and feel of the US dollar, same color. However, instead of a president, we had the M18 logo, website, and QR code on it. Once you pick it up, it was obviously fake. But the color, size, and feel made it real enough. We picked the paper quality specifically so that you can throw it up and it would fall nicely to the ground. You know, we wanted it to rain money. It was a success. This fake money was everywhere in the venue. Everybody turned into a stripper that night.
Come on, baby. Take that off for me.
Mm-hmm. Put it in their pants, the underwear, the pockets, stacks of it on tables, throwing it up, lighting cigars or cigarettes with it, taking pictures with big wads of cash fanned out. It was amazing. So when New Year's Eve came along, we said, let's do it again. People had such a good time with it. Let's do it again. They're going to love it. The night was perfect. We were packed, packed, packed. We did more money on that night than we ever did in any previous club I was in. Rumor had it that we were the biggest success in town. But that all came to an abrupt end when I woke up and saw the news in the morning. Next to the shocking news of 36 people dead and 48 injured was the cause of the accident. M18 throws fake money from the club, causing people to think it's real money, in which people turn to grab it. and people got trampled in the process. There it was, all over social media, all over the news, and then it trickled into the international media. And by late afternoon of the 1st, M18 was the cause of the stampede. Some people said it was the managers that did it for promotion. Some say the clients threw it, and some said it was just the rich having fun at the expense of the poor people that were down below. The thing is that we didn't even know this had taken place. We had no clue that this happened. The news report said that this had taken place at 11:30 p.m. or so. The thing is, on the 31st, I walked outside around 12:50 and saw nothing. Our credit card machines were acting up. Didn't have a proper cell signal because it worked out of off a 3G SIM card. So we walked over to our sister club, Muse on the Bund, to borrow some of their machines. Saw nothing. My boss left at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I left at 5 in the morning. The club manager left at 7 in the morning, and nobody knew anything about what happened. Just that when we woke up on the 1st, early afternoon, around 1:30, the finger of justice was pointing straight at us. The thing about China, or more so human nature, is that if it was their fault, they won't fess up on it. No one would do it. No one would volunteer to fess up for their involvement in this. And since the social media was already blaming us, who's to say that their investigation didn't just hop on board and say, yeah, it was them. Point the finger. Everybody else is scot-free. And M18, just take the blame. So you didn't have anybody to look at crowd control on a night where there's 300,000 people in one spot, or the amount of police policing the area. There were multiple people getting the party done. So if you had to point blame, who would you point blame at? There was HQ that had to pay the bills, the finance, the purchasing department. There was the CEO or owner that told them what bills to pay, what can or cannot be done. There's the people at M18, the venue, that said what things we wanted to buy. For example, the money, the balloons, or whatever props were involved with the party. And then there's the people that ordered them and put them and installed them. So who would you point the finger at? In the afternoon of the 1st, there was 4 of us that went to a house to discuss. We were the leaders. We were the major managers, the major players of the club. And we were all shaken, stressed, and saddened by the loss of life. And in shock that M18 was being fingered for it. We planned for the worst. I kept up on the Chinese news, seeing if there was any new developments, while the others called their consulates and lawyers to get ready just in case we had to defend ourselves. A couple of us knew people in power, either in the government or in one branch of the government, or maybe just wealthy people that knew other people. Some would say, get out of the country now. Just get out. You're not under arrest. So just leave. Others would just wish us luck and hope for the best. Some people actually helped immensely, giving us guidance, putting us in touch with counsel, and taking us out for dinner just to say, hey, I hope everything's okay, hope you're okay. However, most people we knew didn't text, call, nor answer the phone. They distanced themselves from us. You know, like they say, in times of trouble, you know who your true friends are. And most of our true friends were sitting in that room. And the other ones, they called, texted, or WeChatted us. Imagine again, you're doing your job, you created something amazing, everything was perfect, and then the next day, the possibility of facing the cops coming to get you to answer for a terrible accident. And remember, we're in China. Day 2, about 48 hours after the incident, I managed to contact my lawyer. He was recommended by an old friend that lived in the States who also happened to be a lawyer, and I told him the situation. He was very honest with me. He said, the boss, the owner of the company, doesn't need to worry. You guys ran the venue. You will take the blame. You'll be charged for endangering the public good, and if convicted, you'll face around 3 years in Chinese prison. What's funny about that is it was kind of a relief. Firstly, we're all thinking, oh man, we're going to go to jail for life, or on murder charges, or get the death penalty. And so 3 years didn't sound that bad. But wait, we didn't do anything. Now, I know some of you will be thinking we were overreacting. My girlfriend seemed to think the same thing, thinking I was acting like an uneducated psychopath. But I think our worries were justified, not too far off. I mean, why wouldn't they blame us? Why wouldn't they just say, yeah, it was the club. They don't care about anything. They're rich. The owner's rich. The club managers are rich. Everybody's rich. We'll show them. We'll protect our poor people by prosecuting the rich people. What was stopping them? It's a perfect narrative. By this time, the club was already cleared out of evidence. Our CCTV cameras were taken by the police. Our CCTV camera servers, all the staff have been questioned. Their IDs taken or photocopied. HR was talking to the cops and handing over any information of every employee, foreign and local. And we were just waiting and waiting, waiting for somebody to call, waiting for someone to tell us what was going on. Our parents and our friends called from abroad. One guy had his mom crying on the phone, worried that he was not coming home. Friends from France, Germany, Australia, USA, and within China all asking if we're okay. Or better yet, hey, we saw you on the news. Wish you luck. Sounds bad. Get out of China. And that was it. That was what saved us. From a contact we had, he told us that if this did not go international, it's quite possible we would have got the blame for it. However, since it did go international, the international eyes, governments, news in media, social media, were all following the story. Even the president of China weighed in on the incident, in which he urged a swift and speedy investigation into the stampede. Yep, you heard me right. The president of China weighed in on the incident that happened at the nightclub. Crazy. Thanks to these reasons, we were more or less cleared about the incident. They found out really what happened. What happened was that the money was dropped from M18, but it was dropped around 18 minutes after the stampede, around 11:50. And the stampede happened around 11:32. So the bills were totally disconnected to what triggered the incident. But now, bills did fall. So what happened when people threw money out of the windows of M18? Well, first, only about 10 or 12 bills were actually thrown from the window. And yeah, people did go see what was thrown from the window, but it was only a couple people, and they didn't really care that too much about the bills. In fact, the only place that had no people on the bun that night was right in front of our building, where they took people that were injured from the stampede over to in front of our building for first aid. So after that, we were pretty much cleared. We were still really shooken up and stressed out about it. A couple of us left for Hong Kong for a quick vacation just to decompress from the whole situation, came back to deal with things. Staff were wondering if we're going to reopen, which we didn't. Everybody was wondering if they were going to get paid, which they did. And I was very surprised with China's due diligence. Of course, people rumored, if it didn't go international, you would have got blamed. But I want to be optimistic. I want to think that it was China's legal process, their due diligence, looking into the cause of an accident. And through China's legal process, they did find the true cause and they found the true reasons behind the unfortunate events that took place. This is David Tan, and this was my first Minnesota. Expect more from me covering nightlife in Shanghai, nightclubs, the inner workings, what people do when they go out after dark, and all the crazy things that you might expect or might not expect.
China.
Boop, 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 MSG.